Say this, the word of God,
is
the answer. Make it personal.
The word of God
is my answer. Now turn to your neighbor. Let's preach to them. Say, neighbor,
the word of God
is
your answer.
Amen. I want you to open your Bibles up, please, to Jeremiah, the third chapter. In a moment, we're going to look at the 15th verse. But I began a series a few weeks ago entitled, Where Are You? Wrong place, good place, or set place. The theme of this series is proper alignment or proper placement. This is our fourth lesson. Lesson one, we talked about divine alignment and destiny. In our second lesson, we talked about being in the wrong place. Last week, we talked about a good place. And today, we're going to begin to talk about set place. And I have three lessons that I'm going to share with you on this part of the series. Today, we're going to answer the what questions as it relates to set place. Then we're going to talk secondly about set place in supplying joints. And then our final lesson, we're going to talk about set place and transitions. Transitions, entering in a place and exiting a place. And we're going to talk about exit etiquette or protocol. So let's talk about set place today. In the kingdom of God, divine alignment or proper placement is critical to the success of both the individual Christian and the church. Church universally and the church locally. Divine alignment. Now, before we get into answering the what questions today about set place, I want to share with you two major insights every believer must have. This is a part of our introduction, two major insights every believer must have. Now, the first insight comes here in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. I'm reading from the traditional King James, and it reads, "And I, God is speaking, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Now, we see in the text, and we can derive several things before I share with you the first major insight. We see from the text, and we can derive from the text, conclude from the text, that every Christian need a pastor. Every Christian. Whether you are a new believer or whether you are a mature saint, whether you're in leadership or not, every Christian need a pastor. And then the text lets us know that we need a pastor that has God's heart. And the scripture tells us what this pastor will do for us. This pastor, after God's heart, will feed us with knowledge and understanding. Amen. Now, on the heels of this text, I want to give you the first major insight that every Christian must have. And that insight is, it is not the prerogative of believers to choose their pastor. According to the scripture, a believer's pastor is discovered or discerned through prayer. That is a major insight, major, 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 major insight. God does not give us, you and I, as believers, the prerogative. In other words, he does not give us the right or the privilege to choose who our pastor will be. He reserves that right. God decides who our pastor is, and then it is our responsibility to discover or discern God's choice. I got that from the text. Just Jeremiah 3:15, God said, I will give you. Notice, he said, I will give you. Notice, I will give you. I will give you pastors, he says, after my heart, and the pasture that I give you will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Okay, that's very important. Now, turn over to Jeremiah chapter 23. And I'm speaking to you, Faith Chapel, but I'm speaking to the church. I am speaking to Jesus' church. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 3 through 4, we have the second major insight. Notice what it says, and I will gather, God is speaking, I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them. And will bring them, I will bring them again to their foes. Foes is plural, implying more than one fold. And they shall be fruitful and increase. He reiterates Jeremiah 3:15 in verse 4. He says, I will set up shepherds over them. I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them. Again, he mentions the number one priority of a pastor is to feed the flock. And then he says, they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. So there's several things that I want you to get from this text. I want you to notice from this text that every Christian should join, connect to, support, and function in or under a local church. Every Christian should join a local church, should connect to a local church. Now, it is possible to join a church and not be connected to it. Peter cut off a servant's ear in the gospel. Ear lying on the ground there, and Jesus picked the ear and put it back on and healed the man's ear. Well, when Peter cut that man's ear off, watch this now, it was still there, that man's ear. It was just not connected. So it's possible to join a church and not be what? Not connected. But every Christian must join, must connect to, watch this, must support and must function in or under a local church. And then God makes certain promises to those who are in the flock that he have chosen. Watch this. He make the promise. He says that you'll be fruitful. He says that you'll increase. He says you'll fear no more. You'll not be intimidated by life. He says you'll not be dismayed. The word dismayed means to be broke down, to be cast down, to be beat down, to be discouraged. And then he says, you'll not be lacking. The word lacking is a very interesting word. And I looked at that word lacking and looked it up. And that, there are several words missing. Lacking means missing. Lacking means oversight. care for, count, number. What he's saying there, that when a Christian is not in their fold, they don't have oversight. Does that make sense? It says that they does not have oversight. When they are not in their fold, they are not cared for. When they're not in their fold, they are not counted, or they are not in their number. Now listen carefully, and this is one of the reasons why every Christian needs to join a church. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Now listen carefully, as they that must give an account. So the scripture says, listen carefully now, the scripture says that the pastor is watching over your soul. And the Bible says that the pastor must give an account of those that are in the number. So every pastor, because there are multiple folds, then only a pastor is only authorized to oversee those that are in his number. So you have Christians who have no church, they have no pastor, and they have no oversight, and they have nobody watching over their souls. But that's not the major insight that I wanted to share with you. The second major insight that I want you to get is that it is not the prerogative of believers to choose the local church that they should join and connect to and function in and function under. It is not the prerogative of us to decide what church we're going to join. According to the scriptures, believers must discover and discern through prayer God's choice. So right away, we see why people are out of alignment in the body of Christ is because God does not give us the prerogative to decide who our pastor is. God chooses our pastor for us. God does not give us the prerogative to choose what church we join. God chooses the church that we join for us. It is our responsibility to discover and to discern God's choice. Wow. Wow. That's major. That's major. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So right away, precious people, right away, we see that it's going to be critical for us, as you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it is going to be critical for us to have a prayer life. It is going to be critical for us, and that's why I was sharing with you. I know you got your different prayer life, but we got some Christians, they're learning how to pray, and so we were saying to you, take at least 35 minutes a day. That's about the time of a sitcom. Spend about 20 minutes reading through the scriptures and about 15 minutes praying. You've got to spend the quality time before God, because you're not going to know who your pastor is, and you're not going to know your sheepfold or the church you're supposed to join by just observation. You're supposed to discover it and discern it in prayer. Wow. 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 I submit to you that many Christians don't realize that. But let's look at 1 Corinthians. Let's talk about what is set place. Let's talk about what is set place. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You said that in the Bible? Yeah, it's in the Bible. We just read it. He said, I'm going to give you a shepherd. He said, I'm going to bring you to your fold. Didn't he say it? Amen. Now, look at what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. It says, but now hath God set the members, how many? How many of the members? Every one of them in the body. Now notice what it says, as it has pleased him. So what is set place? Let's define set place. Set place is a God-ordained place, position, or function whereby you can live out God's purpose for your life. It is a God-ordained place, position, or function whereby you can live out God's purpose for your life. Now, with that in mind, I want you to listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. Set place does not mean that you cannot function or have a calling outside of the local church. You following me now? In our church, we have members that have joined, that have connected. They're supporting the church financially. They're supporting the church in their prayers. And they are functioning in the ministry, in the health ministry, to help us carry the vision forward. And they are either functioning in the outreaches of this local church, like through the Ministry Care Center. They're in alignment. But we have other members that have also joined and connected. They are also supporting the church through their prayers and their finances. And they are coming consistently to get fed at their church, but they have callings and functions outside of the local church. Does that make sense to you? And those individuals are also in alignment. So when we talk about set place, we're not saying that individuals can't be called to do other things outside of the local church. Does that make sense to you? Okay, now listen at this. What the second definition of set place is, set place is being where God wants you to be. That's where, why your prayer life is so very important. God wants you to be where he wants you to be. Does that make sense to you? Now watch this. Based on just the first two definitions now, we can see that there's a difference between achievement in life and success in life. It is possible to do a lot of good things and achieve great results in your life, in your career, and all those different things, and not be successful in God. Because success in God is being where God wants you to be and being and doing what God wants you to do. Does that make sense to anybody? Now listen at this. Set place may not be where you want to be. And it may not be where you're most comfortable being. Follow me? Now, here's an issue before we go to our next definition. So very important, so very important. It's so very important. Listen at this. Many Christians are shopping for churches the way they do clothes, cars, and furniture. So what do you mean they're shopping for churches? Like they do cars and furniture and clothes. Well, they're looking for the best deal. And many Christians are not only looking for the best deal, they're looking for convenience. They want it to be convenient. And then they want to be pleased. They want to be pleased. Now, the only problem with joining and connecting because it's convenient and because it's the best deal or because it pleases you when there's a better deal that comes along. When there's something that's more convenient and when you're not pleased, then if you're not careful, you set yourself. Am I talking to anybody here? Now, I had a man, you don't even try to fix your head around it. It's an illustration. It's a real life story, though, real person. But 20 years ago, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, he came through the door. I don't know whether it was a funeral or something, but he came through the door and he said this to me. I heard him. He looked me in the face. He said it to me. He said, "I know I'm supposed to be at Faith Chapel." He said, "But I don't like that. I didn't like the music." See, the music didn't please him. He never joined. This is a good person. We're not talking about a rebel. We're not talking about somebody that doesn't have their life together. Good man, was successful in his career, all that. But I feel sorry for him. Because he was like many Christians. They make decisions on whether or not it pleases them. But really, if we go by the scriptures, now listen carefully, if we go by the scriptures, then we're to spend time in God to discover and discern where we're supposed to be. Now, once we discern where we're supposed to be, then the issues of the best deal, the issues of convenience, because I mentioned the group from Livingston area drive 120 miles one way. That's 240 miles. Shoot out. Somebody said, "Shoot, I ain't driving no 240 miles to go nobody to church. I go down to church down the street before I go down to church. It's a good church down." But you don't understand. God didn't give you a choice. See, he said, "I'll give you pastors," and he says, "I'll bring you to your fold." So the issue of convenience, the issue of what you like or don't like, because we all have preferences, is irrelevant and immaterial. Lordship, precious people, is not you getting saved and missing hell. Lordship means you have relinquished the control of your life, and then Jesus tells you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, and the Bible becomes your guide for living, and the Holy Ghost becomes your guide on the inside. So what you think or what you feel or what you like and what you don't like is irrelevant and immaterial. Watch this, if you want to be in divine alignment. That's interesting. Turn to your neighbor and say, "That's interesting, isn't it?" Okay, now, thirdly, set place is the fulfillment zone. It's what? It's where you're going to enjoy your highest level of fulfillment. The Lord has set the members. The Lord set the members. The Lord set the members in the body, every one of them, as it is pleased him. Wow. The fourth definition of set place is, set place is a geographical location, a spiritual position, it's a mental position, and it is a relationship position. Explain that to me, okay? I quote a text for a moment and then I come back and explain it to you. I quote a text. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 2, the scripture says that the word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, "Get thee hence, turn eastward, and hide yourself by the brook Cherith," that is by the Jordan. And it says that God said to Elijah, "I want you to drink from the brook." And he said that, "I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So the Bible says that Elijah rose up and he obeyed, went to the brook that God instructed him to go to. And the Bible says that the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and the Bible says he drank from the brook. After a while, the text says that the brook dried up. And The reason that the brook dried up because there was no more rain in the land. So the scripture says the word of the Lord came to Elijah again saying, arise, go to Zarephath, that is down by Zidon, for I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee there. And the scripture says he arose and went to Zarephath. When he got to the gate of the city, there was a widow woman out there with some sticks, gathering sticks. And Elijah never met the woman. The woman never met Elijah. Elijah said, hey, go get me a little glass of water. The woman turned to get him a glass of water. And he said, while you're at it, bring me a little sandwich too. The girl turned to him and said, wait 1 minute now. She said, I have not a cake. He said, I just got a little meal in a barrel. Just a little oil in the cruise. And see, I'm gathering some sticks and going to make a fire. And we're going to eat it. And me and my son, and we're going to die. Elijah said to her, fear not. Fear not. But do what I'm getting ready to tell you. That's right. Go and make the cake. Get the fire. Cook the meal. But make me a little cake first. And then you eat, you and your son. For the Lord said that the barrel of meal shall not waste, and the cruse of oil shall not fail until the Lord send rain on the earth. And she went and did what the man of God said. And the Bible says she and he and her son ate many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not. And the cruse of oil did not fail according to the word of the Lord. So set place, come on, say set place. Yes. Set place is a geographical location. It is being where God wants you to be. Go to the brook called Cherith, not the Jordan, to the brook. Turn eastward, not westward. Do what the man told you to do. It's a place. It's a place that you're supposed to be. It's where God wants you. He said, I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. You down there in the Jordan River. Ain't no ravens coming down there. He said, I commanded the ravens to feed you there. Come on, say there. Now watch this. The brook dried up because the brook is not the source. God is the source. So God said, I got another supply for you now. I want you to go down to Zarephath because I have commanded a widow woman to take care of you there. Come on, say there. You know, Brother John Osteen preached a sermon years ago when he was alive called A Place Called There. So watch this. A set place is a geographical location. It's being where God wants you to be, but it's also a spiritual position. It's doing what God tells you to do. Do what the man tells you to do. Don't make up something. If he said turn eastward, don't go westward. If he said go by the brook, go by the brook. Do what the man says. Do what he tells you to do. We're in a day now where you got to do what God tells you to do. I say you got to do what God tells you to do. It is a spiritual position. It is a mental position. It is humbleness of mind. Watch this. Yielding to the word and yielding to the Spirit's instructions, even when it doesn't make sense. Watch this. And even when you don't want to do it. Sometimes what God tells you to do doesn't make sense. What sense does it make that the bird's going to feed you? What sense does it make to go to Zarephath? That's where his enemy, Jezebel's hometown was Zarephath. What sense does it make to go to a widow woman who has nothing and she gonna take care of me? That doesn't make sense. It's time out for us arguing with God. We need to start just humbling ourselves, just yield to God. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to figure it out. Just yield to God. It's a mental position. Humility. I'm yielding to God. I don't want to go. I don't want to do it, but God said it. It is also a relationship position. It is being connected to the right people who are critical for your success. And God has orchestrated certain people that you need to be connected to. Maybe some spiritual people, maybe some business people, but God has He's already orchestrated that there are some people that you need to be connected to. There's some people you need to be connected to. And God knows where the people are, and you're not going to be able to figure it out with your own brain. Elijah needed to be connected to that widow woman. And that widow woman needed to be connected to Elijah. Right. If she didn't make that connection, she was gonna die shortly. If he didn't make that connection, his ministry, he was gonna die shortly. It is a geographical location, it's a spiritual position, it's a mental position, it's a relationship position. What are the benefits? Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You don't have to turn into more. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Set place. Come on, say set place. Come on, set place. Well, I ain't comfortable with that. Where is that in the scripture? I'm not comfortable with a lot of stuff God tells me to do. Comfort. I wish he would. God don't care about your comfort. He ain't building the kingdom around your comfort. If God was building the kingdom around your comfort, he had to wait for you to get up out of the bed. Think about it. You're going to take a day off. God ready to roll, ready to rumble. You taking a day off. God ain't building around your comfort. I wouldn't drive no 120 miles. Why I'm gonna drive 120 miles? Because you're ignorant. And you're running your own life. Because you're trying to be pleased. You want things to please you. God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it is pleased him, as it is pleased him, as it is pleased him, as it is pleased him. Your name ain't in there, as it is pleased him, as it pleased him. Why is it important to be in my set place? Set place releases supernatural provision. Set place provides protection from physical danger and sinful situations. Set place releases God's glory. Who gets the glory who gets the glory when birds feed you? Gotta be God, right? We can't make the birds come. Guess what? Birds usually eat up the food before they. Ravens are ravenous animals, so they normally eat up the food. Who gets the credit now for being sustained 3.5 years from just a little barrel with a little meal and a little cruise with a little oil, and God provided 3.5 years. Who get the credit? Set place releases God's glory. Set place positions us to provide supply to the right people. It positions us to provide a supply to who?
The right people.
Now, this last reason why set place is so important is because, watch this, what we do, watch this now, what should we do? What we do does not qualify us for heaven. What Jesus did qualifies us for heaven. Now watch this. But what we do and how we do it qualifies us for rewards. Oh, well, you got to show me that in the Bible. Got 1 Corinthians? Look at what it says in the third chapter, 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter. You won't have to turn anymore. You getting anything out of this? You getting anything out of this? Look at the 11th verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the 11th verse. You know, one of our biggest challenges is that we only live for the now. But we don't know that what we do now will have an impact on our tomorrow. And I'm not talking about tomorrow in this earth. You're an eternal being, and most of your life is going to be spent in eternity. Even if you live 120 years, that's small frame of time compared to eternity. Look what it says in verse 11. For other foundation, 1 Corinthians 3:11, can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the only foundation. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, watch this now, that's us, whether it's gold, silver, or precious stone, gold, silver, precious stone, watch this, or if he builds on the foundation, wood, hay, and stubble, wood, hay, and stubble, wood, hay, and stubble, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day, that's the judgment seat of Christ, shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man, watch this now, if any man's work abide. In other words, if any man work is gold, silver, or precious stone, it will abide. Now watch this. Which he has built thereon, he shall receive a what? He shall receive a what? He shall receive a what? But look at the next verse. If any man work shall be burned, wood, hay, or stubble, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. So that tells us now that we all that are born again are going to make it in. But we're not all going to receive rewards. So what determines whether it's wood, hay, or stubble, or whether it is gold, silver, precious stone? It is being where God wants you to be. It is doing what God wants you to do that's going to determine whether or not all this labor burned through the fire and we end up not getting a reward, or whether it's going to make through the fire and we get a reward. Let me explain it this way. Let me explain it this way, and I'll close right here. Let me explain it this way. Recently, we had our house painted on the outside. The man who sold our house, he died, but his house is right next door, and we bought some land from him. We hired some painters to paint our house. They did a good job. But if they had gone next door and painted the neighbor's house after we had paid them to paint our house, it wouldn't matter to me how great a job it was. This is a parable now. This is a parable. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is a parable. It wouldn't matter to me whether they did something extra on the other man's house. I paid them to paint my house. And somebody said, don't make no difference which house you paint, as long as you're painting the house. So why should God, I ain't talking about getting to heaven now, but why should God reward us for doing something he didn't tell us to do? We didn't pray. We didn't ask him where he wanted us to be. We didn't ask him who our pastor was. We didn't ask him nothing. We just decided who we like, who we want, where we want to go, and we're going to do as much work as we can. And when we get to heaven, he better pay us because I've been working. But why should he pay you? If you don't get anything out of this, scripture says in all your ways, acknowledge him. Watch this. And it says he, not you, not your mama, not your daddy, not your best friend. It says he will direct your path. Sound like we need to do some praying. Now, some of y'all got that look on y'all face. Like, well, all God is saying is, where are you? Wrong place, good place, sad place. Where are you? Ask your neighbor. Come on, ask. Don't be afraid. Ask him. Where are you? Stand, please. Did you get some out of this one?
Yes.
You know, first service, I got a little emotional. I got a little emotional first service. But I wasn't emotional for me. But I got a little emotional because so many people, they don't know where they're supposed to be. That's why sometimes I feel sorry for God's people. I feel sorry for me sometimes. I've done stuff too, didn't know. God didn't tell me to do it. Did it anyway. One thing I found out about God, though, he tell you to go eastward by the brook. He gonna send the birds down there by the brook. He ain't sending the birds westward. That's a parable, y'all. That's a parable. We can have a heart. We can love God with all our heart, but he ain't sending them birds westward. Speak blessings over you. But today, I think I speak discernment over you. I pray that you will hear God's voice. I pray that you will hear God's voice accurately and clearly. I pray that you will discern his voice, that you will take the time and talk to him. And I pray that you hear him accurately. I pray that you hear him clearly with no distraction. I bind deception. I bind every spirit of delusion. And the spirit of the living God's voice is the voice you will hear. And you will know clearly and accurately what the Lord will have you to do. Sister came up to me. I don't think she'll mind me saying this because you don't know who she was. She said, I'm feeling like I'm supposed to go home. Home is up north for her. I said to her, when you find out for sure, come to me and let me pray for you. Because the worst place in all the world is to be here when you should be there. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? Pray that your hands be blessed this week. That you prosper. That you increase this week. divine favor, and you'll walk into divine connections. I pray that God give you grace to live victorious over sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. I pray that you overcome any traps. I declare that the devices of the enemy are disappointed. Amen. I declare that he will not work his enterprise in your life. Amen. I declare that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Come on, so I receive that. I pray for grace for you. Grace for you. I pray that God gives you boldness, that your eyes be open to see hurting people, and that you have the courage and the boldness, and you make the sacrifice to be a channel of blessing. I pray that you win this week. And while we're absent one from another, I pray that God keep us from falling. You agree with that?
Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed.